Well, good morning, Lakeside. I have to say, you all have pipes. It sounds so good. I was just down here at that last song, quieting myself before I got up here, and I'll tell you, you guys sound great. So thank you for singing that. That's a ministry to me. It's wonderful to worship together here at Lakeside. So thankful for that. I've had the privilege of being the Connections pastor here for just about 17 months. So it hasn't been very long, and it's all started back in March of 2020 when COVID hit. It's been really good. And I have to say, you know, it's such a joy to be able to meet new people. In fact, I met some people, new people today, and it's such a joy to meet new people here as they come to Lakeside. And as fall is here, as we're getting into fall ministries, you know, this is the time of year where people will come to a new church, will search for churches. And so it's just an awesome time of year. Really enjoy it. I really, you know, just this last week I was able to give a tour of the building and then answer some questions from somebody. It was such a joy to sit down and to share with people what God's been doing here at Lakeside. And, you know, it's a joy to connect people to all our different little programs we have. I mean, Kids for Truth's coming up. We're excited about that. Party with the Pastors. I am pumped up about that. Starting Point, all these things. And it's such a joy to do that. But nothing brings this Connection pastor more joy than to connect people to Jesus and to see people come to know Jesus as their Savior is just one of the greatest things. And to see God transform them and have them just change their lives and give their lives over and to grow and become more like Christ is such a joy. And as we look at Psalm 1 today, that is what it's all about. It's about the blessed man or blessed woman we want that God to make and to produce here at Lakeside. So let's open up in a word of prayer. God, I have to say today to you, it's not I, but Christ in me. God, I'm so thankful for that today. So thankful that you saw me in my greatest need. Dead in my sins, and you sent your one and only Son, and he came, and he lived a perfect life as fully God and fully man, and he became sin for me and for us, and went to the cross, and he gave his life there, paying the price once and for all that I owed for my sin. Lord, I thank you that he's risen and we gather today because it's the first day of the week and that's the day he rose again. Thank you for the resurrection. And Lord, as we look into Psalm 1, Lord, I pray, God, that you would open all of our hearts, Lord, mine included, that you'd open them up and help us to be changed in any way that we need to be changed today. Lord, I pray for the one or many who've come in today, Lord, and they have not received Christ as their Savior. They haven't fully surrendered their life to you yet. Lord, I pray today that they would see Christ and that you would just break their heart and show them that nothing else will satisfy, nothing else will bring fulfillment, only Christ, and that they would just fully give their lives completely over to you today. Lord, help me to get out of the way today. Lord, I want your words to come out loud and clear, not mine, God. We want to hear from you today. And we know we will because your word is living and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to get right down into our hearts. So do that work that only you can do today, and we love you so much. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So you have your Bibles open, hopefully, Lord willing, to Psalm 1, or you have your insert or your device turned on to Psalm chapter 1. And I want to encourage you, that's where we're going to spend a lot of time, but also we're going to get into Jeremiah 17. So I'd ask you, as you listen to me here, just the first part, that you find Jeremiah 17, put your finger there, or put the paper there or something. I'll have it up on the screen as well. But we're going to look at this blessed man. Okay, it starts off right away in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. And I would say in the original, it's blessed. Blessed is the man. There's an emphasis on that. And that word blessed means this. It means happy. And this is not that happy-go-lucky thing. This is this deep-seated contentment in God. It's supremely fulfilled in Christ. This is the blessed man that the psalmist is talking about. Blessed is the man. And we're going to look at three three things as they pertain to the blessed man. And the first thing, let me go give you the three things now, and then we'll go through each one of them. The first one is the direction of the blessed man. And then we're going to look at the depiction of the blessed man and the picture that God gives us through the word here. We're also going to look at then lastly the destination of the blessed man. And so we're going to look at these three things from Psalm chapter 1. And so the first one that as we look at, we see this, the direction of the blessed man. And we see this right away in Psalm 1 and 2. And one thing that's really awesome is as this is the first Psalm, the book of Psalms, you'll see a lot of this is one way, this is the other way, this contrasting. And one thing for sure you'll see in Psalm 1 is that there are really only two types of people. There is the blessed man and there's the wicked. Those are the two types of people that are out there. And so we see right away the direction of the blessed man. And first, it's stated and it's shown by looking at what the blessed man is not. In verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." And so those three things, and I want to show you the progression of these three things, walk, stands, and sits. These are sin's slippery slope, okay? This is sin's slippery slope. It all starts by walking in the counsel of the wicked. And that word walk means wander. So it's as you're going, you're walking along and you're wandering and you hear this counsel that's not right according to God's word. It's wicked. And your ears perk up and you're like, it got my attention. And you kind of walk over there as you're walking past it. And then the next thing is that you stand. The progression is that you stand in the way of sinners. And that word stand means to abide. So it grabs your attention and you walk over to it and you stand and you listen and you hear it out and it starts looking good to you. And you think, okay, I could do that. Yeah, sounds good. And it so it stands, abide in the way of sinners. And the word sinners there is talking about just criminal offenders. You know, we are all criminals according to God's holy law. We've all broken that law. We also then see sits in the seat of scoffers. And so you're walking along, you're wondering, it gets your attention, you turn to it, you stand, and then you sit. And the idea of sit is that you are now judging, you're settling in, and even that goes this strong, this word goes to say that you marry it. It's that much. You join up with the scoffers. And the word scoffers is simply this, to mock God, to mock, to make mouths at. And this is all the normal tendency, sin's slippery slope in our lives, is it not? I'm sure as you can and I can go back through my life and see when I was walking along and the counsel of the wicked caught my ears. And then I stood in the way of the sinner. I sinned and transgressed against God. And then before I knew it, I was sitting and I didn't know what to do. But then I had turned to Christ. And that's what it's saying. It's saying the blessed man doesn't do these things. The blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, does not stand in the way of sinners, and does not sit in the seat of scoffers. And as I was studying this, I was thinking, you know, Jesus, take these three things to and put them in Jesus' life. Look at what Jesus didn't do. Jesus did not walk in the counsel of the wicked. In fact, what he did is he heard the counsel of the wicked, and he turned it 180 degrees and challenged them. Because he was the truth. And he didn't stand in the way of sinners. He didn't partake in the sinfulness of the sinners. But he did stand in front of sinners and show them and declare to them the better way, the best way himself. And praise the Lord for this last one. Because Jesus stood while those who sat on the seat of scoffers ridiculed him and mocked him and beat him, and he stood silently before them. And then he silently went to the cross that they put him on, dying and bearing the sin of those very ones who were sitting in the seat of scoffers. Oh, I am so thankful for that truth of what Jesus did and how he didn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. He didn't stand in the way of sinners and I didn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but he turned it upside down. Because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be in front of you today. You know, Jeremiah 17:5, I told you we're going to be back and forth between Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17 because they're pretty much parallel. It's amazing. Jeremiah here in chapter 17, he says this about that wicked man. He says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." And that's the bottom line. You can sum up that the blessed man is not one who trusts in himself and not one who trusts in his own strength, but one who trusts in God's strength and God himself. The psalmist goes on in verse 2. He says who the blessed man is not, but he goes on in chapter 2 and he says, here is who the blessed man is, what he does. Here is the direction of the blessed man. The direction of the blessed man is that he delights in the law of the Lord or in the word of God. Now, when this was written in Psalm 1, they only had the first five books of the Bible, the law of God. And you might be saying, well, who in their right mind would delight in the law, would take pleasure in the law? Remember, the law was a lot about do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, that bogs me down at times, right? But here's the thing about the law that we need to get a hold of. If it wasn't for the law, Paul says, we wouldn't know our need for a rescuer. We'd be oblivious to the need of a rescuer. Therefore, we probably wouldn't even give our lives to a rescuer when we saw him. We don't recognize it when we saw him. And that's why we can delight, that's why the psalmist could delight in the law of the Lord, because the law shows him that he is a sinner, that God is holy, and that he needs a rescuer, and God has promised a rescuer. And that rescuer we know today is Jesus. It's Jesus. And therefore, I can delight in the word of God because God's given me this wonderful love letter that I've used. I've used that analogy before, how my wife wrote me her first letter and I would take it out during class and study it and that kind of stuff. But even better is this book right here, this letter that God's given us personally to us from himself. And it shows us and it tells us about how we are sinners, and it shows us how he loved us so much that he gave his one and only son to die for us so that we can have eternal life. Do you delight in the word of God? Do you take pleasure in the word of God? Not only that, but it says the blessed man meditates on the word of God. And that word meditate is this, how they would learn God's word is they would murmur it to themselves all day long. They just go along in their way, blessed is the man, you know, and just rattle it off and murmur it to themselves all day long. That's the idea of meditate. The other idea of meditate is this, is to ponder, and then chewing the cud. If you know anything about a cow and their chambered stomach and they have to bring it back up and they chew on it some more, then they swallow it, digest some more, bring it back up, chew on it some more. That's the idea in what we're supposed to be doing with God's word. Now I know football season started yesterday, I think, for college, right? Okay, college football started. Other football's getting going on. High school football's been going on. Sports are great. I'm thankful that we can have sports, that God's allowed us to have something that we can enjoy. For me, it's racing, and I know I don't want to get into it, so we're not going to talk about it, but for me, it's racing. But here's the challenge. Here's where it comes down, where rubber meets the road for me, and that's this. Am I more concerned and do I have more head knowledge and do I delight, let's put that word in there, do I delight more in the stats of my favorite team, my favorite driver, and all these things? Do I delight more in those and learn them and meditate on them more than I do God's only word? That's a challenge. That's a challenge. We need to be delighting. We need to take pleasure in God's word, more pleasure than football, more pleasure than any other thing. We should take pleasure in it so much that we should have this burning desire to meditate on it, to know it, and allow it to work in our lives and work in our hearts. And when we do that, get this, when we do that, Jeremiah 17, what Jeremiah says in there, he says this. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. When we delight ourselves in God's word and when we choose to meditate it and put our energy and put our priorities into meditating on God's word, guess what happens? We end up trusting and motivates us to trust in the Lord more. And our trust isn't in our spouse, isn't in anybody else, isn't in anything else but God and God alone. And that's where it needs to be. And that's how we can be happy, how we can be content in God, how we can be supremely fulfilled. And so that's the direction of the blessed man. The next one is the depiction of the blessed man. And I love this because this is a picture of Psalms use a lot of pictures to show the blessed man. And here's the word, here's the picture here in verses 3 and 4. Verse 3 says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And so when you see that word in verse 3, it says, he is like a tree planted. When you see that word planted, here's the idea of that word. The idea is transplanted. That's why I have on the screen a tree transplanted by streams of water. Every one of us in this room, every person who's ever lived on the face of this earth was first of all, because of our sin nature, because of the sin that we have in us, that's in our nature, we were planted in a desert, not beside streams of water. We were planted in sin and death. That's what we're planted in. And what God does through Jesus, and it's mentioned right here, is the blessed man, he is like a tree taken from sin and death and transplanted to life and righteousness through the living waters who he's planted by, who is Jesus Christ. I love our John series. Remember that John series we've been doing? You remember that? We're going to get going again next week on that. John chapter 7. We made it through 6 chapters. We're doing well. But in the John series, if you remember, we encountered a woman of Samaria at the well of Jacob and Jesus. And you remember Jesus sitting at the well, and here comes a Samaritan woman out to draw water at the middle of the day. And Jesus asks her, can you give me a drink of water? And she was amazed at that. She was amazed. Like, how are you, a Jew, asking a Samaritan, me, a woman, you're a man, how are you asking me for water? Why would you do that? And Jesus answered her during the conversation in John chapter 4, verse 10. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water that truly satisfies, living water that fulfills completely. This living water that we're planted, that the blessed man is planted next to, is no other than Jesus himself. Not only does that tree then, who's transplanted from death and sin to life and righteousness, then it yields fruit, it says. It yields fruit and its leaf does not wither. It yields fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. Which tells me that this tree that's transplanted by streams of water is stable. It's not going to be moving. It could be shaken. It can be bent, but it's not going to be moved. It's stable. And Jeremiah does a better job fleshing this out a little bit in Jeremiah 17. And he says this. He says, he is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream, Jesus, into Jesus then, and does not fear when heat comes. For its leaves remain green. And it's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. You see, and there could be some in this room right now today, I'm sure there is, who you've had the heat turned up in your life. You're going through a drought in your life. And maybe first and foremost, maybe it's because you haven't fully surrendered your life to Jesus yet. Maybe you're still trying to find the satisfaction and the fulfillment over here where you've been planted in death and sin. And the first step is you need to be transplanted by believing on Jesus. You need to be transplanted by the streams of living water, by Jesus, and into life and righteousness. Maybe that's who you are. Maybe that's where you are today. But maybe some of you, you know, you've been transplanted over here, but you're still, your roots, for some reason, we have this tendency for our roots to still send out to this other stuff that doesn't satisfy, that doesn't fulfill. Let me tell you, you have all that you need in Jesus. Everything you need is in Jesus. Dig your roots, push your roots into him, because then when the heat comes and when the drought comes, you will be stable. So, so thankful for that in my life. And I could even go as far as say, you know, here at Lakeside, not only will you be stable, but you're anchored. You're anchored to Christ. Well, that's the depiction of the blessed man, but then to even just kind of sturdy it up more and to show us a little bit more what it is, he tells us about the wicked, and he says this, that a tree, you know, we're a tree transplanted by streams of water, the blessed man is, in contrast, the wicked are chaff. And I remember, I don't remember the olden days, okay? I'm just going to say that. I don't remember the olden days where we didn't have all the equipment we have to harvest things. But I do remember harvesting popcorn with my in-laws and cleaning up popcorn and taking the popcorn off the cob and stuff like that. And we would take buckets of that and we would dump it on a windy day. We'd dump it between buckets and keep moving it through and stuff and getting it all so that that chaff, that stuff we didn't want in our popcorn, it would blow away. And the psalmist says, that's the wicked. You might see, and we might look in the world, we might think, wow, the wicked are prevailing, the wicked are winning the day. Absolutely not. No, they're not. God says they're chaff, they're just going to be blown away by the wind and driven away. Jeremiah goes on, gives us a little more about these people. He says, he is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. That is the picture of a wicked man, of wickedness, of sinfulness, of one who's not in Christ. That's the reality. But if you go back to Psalm 1, and you look at the end of verse 3. It says this about the blessed man. It says, in all that he does, he prospers. And that's not to say, I'm not Joel Osteen. It's not to sit here and say, you are blessed by God and God wants to bless you even more materially in those things if you just give your life to him. That's not what this is about. It's deeper than that. It's greater than that. This word prosper means that you'll push forward. Paul talks about, I press on. I forget what's behind and I press on into Christ and know him more. And it means be profitable. And not just profitable for here and now, because this here and now is fading away and it's not going to last. But the kingdom of God is going to last for all eternity. That's what I want to be profitable for. And that's where God will prosper us. as we put our roots into Christ, we will prosper in the fact we will push on to be more like Christ, and we'll be profitable by connecting others to Christ. You know, I said that, you know, I've been a connection pastor for 17 months, and my greatest joy is to connect people to Jesus. Next to that greatest joy, my next greatest joy is probably seeing people who have been connected to Jesus connect others to Jesus. It's an amazing thing to watch and to be a part of and to see. And a strong, fruitful, thriving tree, it's that way because its roots are connected to the source of life. Jesus is the source of life. The only way that we'll have strong, fruitful, thriving lives is to be connected to Jesus and continue to grow in that connection. Well, not only have we seen the direction of the blessed man, the depiction of the blessed man by this great picture, this great tree and the roots digging deep into the living water of Jesus, but we also see the destination of the blessed man. The destination of the blessed man. Verses 5 and 6. First of all, down in verse 6 says, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous." The Lord knows him. The Lord knows the blessed men and women in this room. And when that you hear that word knows, here's what it means. It's this intimate knowledge. It's this watching over you. He's not going to let you go. Nobody can snatch you from his hand. I am so, so thankful that God knows me in that way. He's doing things behind the scenes. He's just doing this morning in my life. Just to remind me, Joel, I know what I'm doing. You don't have to have it figured out. I have it figured out. I'm so thankful I can rest in that. Because he knows me. And he can know you too. And you can know him. You can tap out in your life. Stop going after other things for fulfillment and satisfaction and tap out and give your life to Christ, and he will know you more than you know yourself. In contrast, though, the wicked perish. In contrast, the wicked perish. This is sobering thoughts, sobering idea here. Because every single one of us in this room, whether it's us, maybe personally, you personally, maybe you're the one that hasn't fully surrendered your life to Christ. And you're sitting here and saying, yes, that's me. I'm still planted over here in sin and death, and I'm still trying to find my satisfaction there. But we all who have maybe been transplanted, we all know somebody who's like that, whose condition is that. And let me tell you, the sobering truth is, if they don't get transplanted, if they don't say yes to Jesus, they perish. And that word perish is to lose oneself and there's no escape. It's the idea, lose oneself, there's no escape. If you're here in this room and you haven't fully surrendered your life to Christ, today is the day to make that decision to go from sin and death to life and righteousness. Because you're not promised the next breath. The destination of the blessed man is glorious, but in contrast, the wicked face everlasting hell. And I plead with you, if that's you today, just admit that you're a sinner to God. You can do this right where you're sitting. And then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will be rescued. In closing, as I look at Psalm chapter 1, We could ask the question, you know, am I a blessed man? Am I a blessed woman? We could ask that question, and rightly so. But the thing I want you to understand, I want you to see more, is who really is the blessed man of Psalm 1? Who is the blessed man in Psalm 1? And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's all over this psalm. Open the eyes and see it. Be connected to Jesus, the living water, so you can connect others to him. So we've seen the direction of the blessed man. We've seen this great depiction of the blessed man. And we've seen the destination of the blessed man. I want to put this up here. I want to introduce you to this. You're going to see more of this in the days ahead, months ahead. But here's something that we've been working on here at Lakeside, and this is called the discipleship pathway. And in this discipleship pathway, we see a very distinct three-step path that we all are following. We're on here somewhere. Everyone in this room is somewhere on this path. It might be that you're on an on-ramp in the beginning stage, which means you're still weighing it out, whether you should become a follower of Christ, deny yourself and follow Christ like Dave talked about last week. You're still searching that out. Maybe you've just became a new believer and you're soaking everything in and you're diving in the Word and you're beginning to grow. You're in these beginning stages. You're getting connected here at church. You're getting into our starting point, which, by the way, all those programs, all these great things we do as Lakeside, I'm so thankful for them. It's fantastic. They're all on ramps to somewhere along this way. Some of us are in the growing stage. Some of us, yeah, we're connected here. We're in a Bible study. We're learning more. We're in a growth group. That's why we call them growth groups. And we're growing. But let me just tell you, people who are smarter than me have figured this out, have studied churches that died. And what happens is they found is that somewhere along the way in this stage of the church, when the majority of the people are growing and they're in a growth group and they're growing, they tend to stagnate. And they see this, they study churches, they see this. And when that happens, that's when the church is leading towards death. And I will tell you personally, I don't want that. God has given us such a blessing to be part of Lakeside. And my desire is for me to personally be growing, continue to allow my roots and dig my roots deep into Christ and keep going and keep learning and keep growing in him. And not only that, but then to call up my brothers around me and say, come on, guys, let's go. Let's grow in Christ. Let's not worry about the stuff of the world. Let's not dig into that. Let's not worry and get prioritized over here. Let's get deeper into Christ. And then what happens is, as we do that, we get the opportunity to replicate ourselves. We get the opportunity to come along somebody else who's just getting on the beginning or maybe thinking, maybe I should get a part of this. Yes, you should. We get to come alongside them and share Jesus with them and connect them to Jesus. Where are you on this pathway today? The blessed man is one who's transplanted by the streams of living water by Christ, and he's growing, he or she's growing into Christ and going deeper into Christ every day, and then producing fruit, which is showing others and connecting others. You, if you've received Christ as your personal Savior, if you've surrendered your life fully to him, you have been given a great gift of everything you need for life and godliness to grow, and you get to connect others to him. God connected you to Jesus so you can connect others to Jesus. That's what we're about. That's our desire as Lakeside. And that's what the blessed man is all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Psalm 1. God, thank you for showing me yourself through this passage. I am so unworthy. I'm like Paul, where Paul says, the thing I want to do, I don't do. And the thing I don't want to do, I'm doing all the time. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ who gives me the victory. Thank you that because of Christ and our connection that you've given us to him, Lord, thank you that we can connect others to him as well. Lord, I pray for the one in this room or many in this room who have never fully surrendered their life to Christ. They've been holding back. They're still trying to find satisfaction and fulfillment in a desert. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that you would take them and you would transplant them from sin and death to life and righteousness. Do that work that only you can do, God. Lord, I thank you so much that it is only in Christ alone that we can live and have life that's abundant, life that is blessed, and this deep-seated contentment in you and the supreme fulfillment in Christ. Thank you so much. We love you, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.